Hello and welcome to the May edition of Senior Connect, the monthly podcast of the Seniors Ministry of First Presbyterian Church of Columbia. I'm your host, Troy Cash, and for this episode, I was joyed to speak with Lynn Honeycutt. Lynn and I hope that you'll be built up by our conversation. But before we get into the meat and potatoes of the conversation, we've got some appetizing announcements. Wednesday, May 12th is the Encouragers Steering Committee meeting. They will meet at 1 p.m. in the Lafitte Parlor here on the church campus. Thursday, May 13th, is the Encouragers Picnic Day at Riverfront Park at noon. You can bring a folding chair and a blanket. We do ask that you RSVP for this event by contacting Miss Janet Altman at jaltman@firstprincecolumbia.org. That is jaltman@firstprescolumbia.org. The next Lifelong Learning Seminar will be held on the 21st of May from 9:30 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. The subject of this Lifelong Learning Seminar is the Elder Law. This event is available for our encouragers and our couples in action, and we ask that you do RSVP on the app or on the church website. And now, let's get to the conversation with Mr. Lynn Honeycutt. Today I have with me Mr. Lynn Honeycutt. Lynn, how have you been lately?
Been pretty well. You know, not going any more than I have to because of the COVID, but I'm doing pretty well.
Absolutely. And has Mr. Thermo been keeping you good company there?
Oh, yeah, when he's not trying to escape.
And yeah. So for those who may not know, Thermo is your buddy, your dog.
Right. Thermo is my guide dog. He's my fourth guide dog in almost 37 years.
Wow.
He's a male yellow Labrador. Well, he's about 78 pounds. He came from a place called Guiding Eyes for the Blind in Yorktown Heights, New York. Mm. It's one of 15 guide dog schools in the country.
Yes. And I know that we've talked a little bit about some of those guiding schools, but
right.
If you don't mind, I think it's a wonderful story how you got to meet Thermo. If you wouldn't mind to share that, I think people would really enjoy that.
In 2013, I had to lay my last dog down, and he was in retirement, but I was hoping he'd be able to kind of work until I got the new dog, and I went without for 6 months, and it really affected First Press. I mean, they were just so upset, yeah. So sweet, and, you know, I knew they were all praying, and, you know, it's kind of hard to tell these sweet people in very imaginative ways. I just don't know. I just didn't know. And in May of 2014, I got a call from the class supervisor one morning saying, "What are you doing in a couple of weeks for the rest of the month of June?" I'm going, "Nothing. Why? You got a dog?" And he's like, "I think so." And so on June the 1st of 2014, I flew to New York City to meet my dog. And the way it's set up is, then you arrived on Sunday. On Monday, we went into town to where our training center lounge is. Mm-hmm. And they do something called a Juno walk. Juno is an imaginary dog, but there was a Juno. He was the first dog graduated from Guide Dogs for the Blind in San Rafael, California, late 30s. And so it's an imaginary dog now where the trainer puts a harness around their right shoulder and they play dog and they measure your pace and your pull and your personality and all that good stuff. Gosh, they've been using this for 90 years almost. And it works. 9 times out of 10, it's very successful.
Uh-huh.
And the way Guiding Eyes does it, you do the Juno with a trainer for about a half a block. at the other end, there is a trainer with a dog in harness ready to be worked. Mm-hmm. You have no clue if it's your dog or somebody else's.
Sure.
9 times out of 10, it's the dog you're going to get. Well, Thermo had been pre-matched for me because of my back issues.
Uh-huh.
I had to have some pretty specific criteria.
Uh-huh.
I had to have a very fairly slow walking dog with a very light pull. And so everybody does their Junos, and one of my classmates is like, you're not going out? Oh, well, you forget. Dog's been pre-matched. I had no clue his name. All I knew is he was a male yellow Labrador, stood 25 inches tall,
uh-huh.
and weighed about 75 pounds. All I knew. And all of a sudden, in walks a trainer, and I heard a dog. I heard the tags jingling, and all of a sudden, my trainer walks up to me and says, hey, here's your dog. You want to do Juno, or you want to work him? Well, that was a stupid question. I had been without for 6 months.
You were ready.
For a seasoned handler that's had a dog for, at that time, I had been working dogs almost nonstop for 30 years.
Sure.
You know, I was ready to ditch that cane. You bet I want to work my dog. And she told me, okay, love on him a little bit, get to know him a little bit, and he's all over me. I mean, he's just licking me for all I'm worth. And so we went out, and I put the harness on him, and I worked him to the turnaround point. Honestly, it felt pretty darn good.
Mm-hmm.
And we got back to the lounge, and there were tears in my eyes because I had just regained my freedom with that dog.
Yeah.
And my trainer, Michelle, who is just, she acts tough, but she's a sweetheart. She's like, dude, what's the deal with the tears? And I'm going, Michelle, sweetie, you don't understand. You just gave me back my freedom. And that's how I met Thurber.
Man.
Almost 7 years ago.
Yeah. That's so sweet.
Oh, yeah. He's a big puppy.
He is. I've got to meet him. And he's a big teddy bear.
You'd never believe he's 9 years old.
You would? No, he's got some energy, too. He was wagging that tail the whole time I got to meet him.
I know. That's his normal.
Well, you mentioned in 2013, I believe, is when you said that you got him, and you mentioned that some of the folks at First Pres were praying for you at that time. So
yeah.
We know you've been here at least that long. Would you mind to talk a little bit about your time here at First Pres, how long you've been here, maybe what even brought you here, and some folks that you've really got to grow in a close personal relationship with while you've been here?
I came to the church about 11 years ago. I was looking for a church, but I was not looking for a big downtown church. Again, I had been in a few of those, and
mm-hmm.
you know how those go sometimes. And the year before I came, my wife had passed away. And I was just, the church I was in, it was, the people were great,
mm-hmm.
but it's a dying church. And I was just starving. And mm-hmm. so I started looking. And after my dad passed away, mom's like, well, I know you don't want to come to a big downtown church, but would you like to visit First Pres?
Mm.
Sure, why not?
Yeah.
Well, the day I visited, she was out of town. But I came with my sister, who's used to be on staff, and my brother-in-law, David. And I'm sitting there with my last dog, Major, and there must have been 24 people that came up and welcomed me. And I was just floored.
Yeah.
I was just floored at the warmth and the friendliness of the church. And then when Dr. Ferguson preached, I still can't tell you what he preached about.
Uh-huh.
But it was like he was feeding me spiritual prime rib, and I needed it. And so I just kept coming back.
Hmm.
And finally, when the inquirer's class that fall came around, I said, well, what the heck? I'd like to learn more about church anyhow. And
mm-hmm.
I'd really been praying about it. And so the day of the elder interviews, mom's like, well, you can go to Sunday school with me? No, mom, we've got elder interviews today. And she was slower. And the funny thing was, in the meantime, I had been having some real issues with my back.
Mm-hmm.
And the first Sunday that I was a member was the day before my first back surgery. And I didn't reappear for 6 weeks.
Oh, goodness.
But the church was awesome. I mean, you know, David, Craig, I know that Dr. Ferguson was praying for me. Others from the church sent cards, letters, meals, and it just blew me away. And since then, I had 7 more major surgeries. And the church was just, they were incredible. They were just, what do you need? You know, they would call me or come to the hospital, or when I was in rehab with my knee and with my ankle, you know, some of the deacons came, a few of the elders came, the pastors visited me all the time, others came. It was just incredible. And the thing was, I had gotten to know David Long, I guess 3 years prior, when my dad had had some pretty major back surgery. And then before he died, I swear David lived at our house, or seemed like it. And, you know, even when Dad was in the hospital for so long, you know, I'd be up and I'd see David at least once, maybe 2 or 3 times. So I got to know David actually pretty well for a couple of years before it ever came to First Press. And being in his Sunday school class for several years was really good, because David is just such a really good, down-to-earth person. He's an incredible teacher. Just really, he just gets the meat out of a passage. And then right before my last surgery is when Brian came on staff, and I got to know him really well after my knee replacement surgery 3 years ago. And now he's my Sunday school teacher and cohort in crime in the seniors ministry. And he's just as able a teacher. I kind of feel for him. We're going through Hebrews right now. He's digging a lot out of it. So, you know, I've just continued to be involved as much as I can. I've enjoyed the encouragers. You know, being single again, just getting out of the house a couple times a month, and once a month on Saturday morning, it's really kind of nice.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's definitely something that's necessary to get up, get out the house, and get some sunshine and some good fellowship.
Good fellowship, be with friends.
And you know, you said something you said that I'm really thankful for myself, because I've heard it from many people, and of course, in my time here at First Pres, I've experienced it as well. For Dr. Ferguson was feeding you spiritual prime rib, and the teaching in the classes have been great to feed you the word. And I think you know, when you said that's why you kept coming back, was being fed the word. I'm really thankful to hear that.
I'm thankful that we have a church like that. I tell people all the time that it's not a perfect church, but if you look at the churches in Columbia, probably the two most growing churches are First Pres and Church of the Apostles, just because of where they're teaching and preaching the word. It's strong. It's very, very strong biblically based. It's very rich theologically. And people want that.
Absolutely. It's certainly what we need.
Yeah. And it really blows me away, the amount of high school kids and college kids that come to the church. I never had a church like that when I was in college some 35, 40 years ago.
Sure. And remind me, where did you go to school? Did you originally grow up here in Columbia, Lynn?
I did. I grew up in Columbia. I graduated from a little private Christian school, Columbia Christian, which is no longer. And then I went to to Midlands Tech for a couple of years, and then I went to graduate from Carolina in 84. I was one of the many thousands of business majors at USC.
Well, they certainly have a pretty large building for the business school there.
They do, and it's even gotten nicer since I graduated in 84.
Well, you probably you helped fund that.
Oh yeah, sure I did.
I'm sure that many of the folks who listen to this and go to the church helped fund it as well.
I'm sure they did. If it wasn't the BA building, it was another building on campus.
Right. Do you have something that right now that you feel the Lord is teaching you, either through the teaching that we're going through as a body, as a church, or even in your private time with him devotionally, is there seem to be maybe even a common theme that God has just placed on your heart that you'd like to share with anybody who listens?
I am still learning. The last 12 years for me personally has been a challenge between my wife's sudden death, my dad's passing 13 months later, almost to the day, 8 major surgeries in 8 years, the loss of a guide dog, and then found that I had a very weird gastrointestinal disease that, if my mother had not been insistent, it probably would have killed me if I hadn't done something about it. Mm. So it's been a challenge, and even COVID has been a challenge. And I think the thing that I'm still learning is that when I don't know how to trust God, I can openly say, Lord, I know I'm supposed to trust you, but how? Mm. You know, I just don't know right now. How am I supposed to trust you? And that is one thing since my roller coaster really ebbed and flowed starting 12 years ago that I've been able to lean on. And, you know, it's also with the fact that I have really found out who my real true friends are, and through thick, thin, right, wrong, and indifferent, they've been there to kick me in the seat when I've needed to, or just let me vent, or just get me out of the house and say, hey, you know, we care.
Yeah.
And, you know, for that's, I think that's where the importance of being in a strong church has really come into play, because I've been ministered to, but at the same time, I've been able to minister as well.
Mm.
You know, it's just been I'm still learning that life is a challenge, and that without faith in Christ, there's no way we'd make it.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, as you're talking, it was bringing to mind a scripture that I was actually reading just last night in Hebrews. And, of course, you know, the whole book of Hebrews is a wonderful account of Christ, our faithful high priest. And and you were thinking through and detailing some of the different areas of suffering that you've experienced in your life. It kind of brought to mind this scripture. It's in Hebrews chapter 2. And if you don't mind, I'll read it, just because it's just so pertinent to so many aspects of our life, especially times of suffering. And it's chapter 2, verse 17, talking about the humanity of Jesus. And it says, therefore he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. And what a more comforting word to know that the God of creation took on life form to be made sin just like us, so that he could become our faithful high priest and identify with all of our sufferings and temptations, and even things like you were saying, you've had some faithful friends to hold your feet to the fire. I mean, what a wonderful word that we've got a faithful high priest who, he not only was made like us, but he says, hey, I know you're suffering, and I know that your temptations to fear and to doubt and to frustration and anger, and he meets us there in those places and says, turn your eyes to me, and you know, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. And I think, you know, as you were saying, if we hadn't faith in Christ, then we would certainly be in darkness and in a truly spiritually destitute place. And it's so beautiful to hear the words that Christ meets us in darkness and brings us to light.
Yeah, that's so rich. I look at people that have gone through crises and they don't handle it well. And I'm not saying I'm a model, but, sure. You know, I look at someone like my mother-in-law who in the space of 10 years lost 3 children and a husband and was nearly killed in a house fire and 2 grandchildren and 2 daughters-in-law, 3 daughters, yeah, 2 daughters-in-law. And, you know, she's like, if I hadn't been a Christian, I don't know where I'd be right now.
Yeah.
And, you know, that just simple faith and, you know, she's right.
Yeah.
And the beauty of it, Christ was made man so he could be tempted so that he knew humanly what we humans that are not perfect creations go through. And that's something to be encouraged by.
It is. It is. And, you know, as you continue down through the passage in Hebrews, and this is kind of like just like you're talking about, what is our response basically to this free gift of grace that he would come down and be made sin for us? And he says, since then, in verse 14, since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. What is our response? Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then, with confidence, draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need.
That's rich.
It is. It is. And so to think that what's required of us? Hold fast our confession.
Yeah,
believe he is who he says he is, and he will make it well with your soul.
That's right.
And thank you for sharing some of your personal experiences.
Oh, you're welcome.
It's really encouraging to hear just bits and pieces of your story and how the family of believers here have come to surround you and display Christ's love to you as well.
Yeah, it has really shown me what a true church family really looks like. Mm. I mean, I know we're not perfect. There is no perfect church. But Sure. Right. Yeah, somebody told me one time when I was going through the Grace Share program, one of the ladies that was in the group, she's like, you can be a good salesperson for this church. I said, let me tell you something. This is the warmest and friendliest church I've ever been in. So why wouldn't I want to sell it?
Absolutely, yeah. And it's all, to take it back to what we were speaking on earlier, founded on the faithful preaching of the word. Because without it, you know, we have no foundation.
That's exactly right.
Lynn, I'm so glad that you were able to join me this morning to talk to some of those out there. Of course, this is the Senior Connect podcast, so most of all who listen will be involved with the seniors ministry and probably have either met you or been acquainted with you, and so this will just be a good refresher if they haven't got to see you in a while, but hopefully there'll be some who listen who maybe you haven't met, and this is a good introduction to you, a little bit about you and who you are and how Christ has worked in your life. I'd love to close the time in prayer. If you wouldn't mind, I think it would be an honor to have you pray for us.
Sure. I'd be glad to. Father, such a great privilege to call you Father and know that we can come confidently to your throne of grace because of the work Christ did for us. Lord, I think you're still working in my life and have worked in my life. And through all of the upheaval and challenges and good times and bad times has always been right there. So all I have to do is ask. Father, I thank you for getting to know Troy, and I thank you for this opportunity to share me with my fellow seniors and encouragers. I'm thankful for a church that not only teaches and preaches the word, but also values the lives of other members from the cradle all the way up to those of us who were in our prime, past our prime, and single again, and widows and whatnot, Father. It's as Dr. Ferguson said quite commonly from the pulpit, and even Derek says commonly, it's so good to be a Christian and to know you. But Father, for this, we thank you, and it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Lynn. I'm glad you got to
join us. Oh, you're welcome. This has been fun.
Thanks for listening to our conversation with Lynn Honeycutt. It's a joy to be with him and to share his testimony and story with you. As we spoke about earlier in the conversation, I'd like to leave you with this word. It comes from Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 through 16. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then, with confidence, draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need.